Now that you've had a chance to read the example text, let's take a look at how we marked up the text. Let's begin by looking at pages 116 and 117. At the top of page 116, we've made a marginal note of conservative versus liberal to indicate that conservative thinkers about patriotism seem implicitly to be contrasted with liberal thinkers about patriotism. This also serves as a text-to-world connection. We are making sense of the author's contrast between two conceptions of patriotism by relating it to our own knowledge of the contrast between conservatives and liberals. Next, we've underlined where the author summarized their introduction and made note in a marginal comment of why it's underlined. We used underlining and highlighting here to note different aspects of the text, using underlining to track the author's argument and highlighting to track the author's signaling statements. In other words, their explanation of what they are examining and why, as well as their explanation of the stages in their argument. For example, we highlighted these two sentences because they explain the author's motivation for conducting this study, namely, to fill in a gap in our knowledge about the relationship between young adults' patriotism and democracy. These sentences justify the author's purpose, but they are not part of the argument itself. In this case, we distinguished between underlining and highlighting because we wanted to be able to go back and get a summary of the author's argument and to be able to go back and see how the authors did the study without confusing these two things. This can come into play when gathering evidence, which will be discussed later. Continuing to look at our example, next we underlined what the authors will argue, making clear in the margin that they haven't yet proven this and what their evidence will be. Looking at the next section we underlined, initially we hadn't noted anything in this paragraph, but after reading the top paragraph on page 117, we realized the authors were and will be relying on Dewey more than we had anticipated. We therefore went back and put the box around Dewey to highlight his status as a theorist central to the author's thinking. We annotated the rest of the paragraph so it would be easy to go back and understand how Dewey is shaping the author's thinking and potentially their argument. So that we remembered the claims being made in this paragraph are stipulated rather than proven, we noted in the margin that the last sentence is a presupposition. When thinking through the author's argument in a case like this, you might consider, do I agree with that presupposition or not? Moving to the top paragraph on page 117, this is where the authors outline their argument and tell us what to expect in this chapter. We highlighted each main step so we could keep track as we read. The last set of markings we made on page 117 was to highlight the question the authors pose and underline the arguments they give on both sides, using marginalia to further clarify the point of each underlined argument. In the first paragraph, the authors give two reasons that love of country may not be desirable. We have underlined each of these. In the second paragraph, the authors give three or four reasons that love of country is desirable. In order to avoid underlining the whole paragraph, and because this is mostly a setup for the rest of the paper rather than a key point, we added numbers to distinguish among the different reasons offered. Note that we included number 1.5 to indicate that this point actually clarifies argument 1 rather than introduces a new argument.